looking at the rings that we have in the issues and then in the system, for an approach from the SDG, for an apology from the MP committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kumla. Now, our number of those are apologies that have been forwarded to the committee secretary. Another apology?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just an apology from Honorable Walters, who's been involved in provincial issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The apologies have been noted. Another member, can we then proceed? The agenda has been circulated to all honourable members. Let me clarify one issue here. We know that as committee members, we took a decision that our meeting starts at 10. But I think it was due to the meeting that we had last week. We don't know whether it was the issue of the cut and paste. Then the invite was sent, we're indicating that the meeting will start at 9:30. So our apology for that, but our meeting starts at 10. That's the decision that was taken as this committee. We want to apologize to those who arrived here at 9:30. We're here by 9:30, but we know that the meeting will start at 10, with that understanding that we're going to start our meeting at 10. Honourable members, there were two sets of minutes that were circulated. The first minute are the minutes of the 15th of February. I believe that honourable members have gone over the minutes, first page of the minutes. Honourable members?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I did offer my apologies for this meeting. It's just not documented.
Okay, is it that you checked and you correct it? Second page. Under 4.3.2, the freedom of marks, I think it's line number 4. That is corrected. Honourable Papa.
Thank you, Chair. 3.2. The last sentence, could we take off the first the having received the presentation from Ms. Mabat, take out the after having.
Now we're looking at the mandate of the date, not the 20th.
What is it, Chair?
Page 3 of the minutes. Page 4 of the minutes. Can I get a memo for the adoption of the minutes with the corrections on 4.3.2? Honorable Magada, move for the adoption of the minutes. Any second? Honorable Magada, second. The other two sets of minutes, honorable members, were minutes of the joint meeting with the presidential advisory panel, which was held on the 20th. Of February. The minutes that you take later is just to correct and note them because you are going to receive the minutes from the advisory panel because it was their meeting. We invited them, but the minutes were circulated for noting. Honorable members, can we then proceed with our today's agenda? Before I make some reflections on the purpose of the meeting for today. Can we introduce ourselves so that we know who is here and the person who is here represents which structure, so that when we engage, we know exactly who are we engaging with. The person speaking is Kumbile Ngonyamabila, the chairperson of the Principal Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform. I'll request Honorable Robertson to
that place.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. My name is Ken Robertson. I represent the Democratic Alliance on this portfolio committee, and I'm the Deputy Shadow Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform for the Democratic Alliance. Thank you. Deputy Shadow Minister, thank you.
You can proceed. Thank you, Chair. Tande Babama. I represent the Democratic Alliance of Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Secretary of the Union. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Good morning to everybody. It's Mama Makarta from KZN representing the African National Congress.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrew Mayera. I represent the African National Congress.
Good morning. My name is Elatu Mama Hassan Chaladen. I was originating from the province of Limpopo. I represent the ANC in this committee of Land and Rural Development.
My name is Edward. I am PJ. I am the whip. The correct definition is paid in cash. I'm the whip of the committee, or of the ANC in the committee. I come from the Eastern Cape.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Rwanda Schlote. I'm the Acting Deputy Land Banks Commissioner and also a member of the Board of Montauk as well as Malamala on behalf of the state. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kavela Masane. I am Director Legal at the Office of the Regional Elections Commissioner.
Good morning. My name is Mashile Mokono. I'm the head of the Office of the Minister.
Morning. I am the controlling secretary of the TPA Madama.
I'm Thomas Mokono.
Good
morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Jacob van Gerven, and I'm an advisor to the Mandalare Rural Property Association.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Felipe Kipkin. I'm the attorney for the Mandalare City.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Virginia Batchy. I'm trustee on Zero Trust.
Actually, every time I'm here, I'm not in trouble. The member I have one that matters to be here.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Dr. Kavuro Karik. I'm from PMG.
Good
avşeni Efredi Matebuli Vahati P.E. Yamanama Avşeni
Morning, my name is Kumbuzo Nyami, I'm head in the office of the deputy.
Thank you very much. I think we know now who is here in our meeting. And
honourable members, before we start with the business of the day, can I just make some highlights on the papers of the meeting for today? Members are aware that after several media reports about Malamala, and after my office has received many complaints or concerns from some of the beneficiaries from Malamala, as this committee, we took a decision that we need to go and do oversight, as this is our responsibility to do oversight. Then we decided that on the 15th and the 16th of November, we need to go to Malamala to meet with the stakeholders and also to meet with the beneficiaries. That is what we did as this committee. We went to Malamala. On the first day, we're supposed to meet with the PPA, the interim PPA executive. But they were not there. We met with other structures, we met with the beneficiaries, we received the briefing from the Monzo. Then on the second day, I think it was on the 16th, then the interim committee joined us. Then we took a decision that we're not going to engage the interim executive committee because we invited them, our invite was here, that we need to engage them, we need to talk to them on the 15th, on the first day, where we're in Malamala. Therefore, we took a resolution that we're not going to entertain any presentation from them. We'll decide that they must come here to make their own presentation. So we invited them to be part of this meeting today. We invited Monzo to be part of this meeting today. I don't know, because we also invited the attorney in which the money of the CPA was deposited to after we received the presentation, that there was an, I think the attorney Iblasu, told she's here. Then we invited the CPA, Monzo, and also the attorney to be part of us today so that they are clarified in some of the matters that were presented us, that were presented to us in, on the 15th and also on the 16th of November. Therefore, without a waste of time, I will give this opportunity to the DM first if they want to make some overview, then to the CSCC, just to make the summary of the presentation, because the same presentation that was presented in Malamala is the same one that was received, but we needed a progress after our visit, because there were decisions that were taken after the discussions that we had after the presentation by both beneficiaries and other stakeholders. Then the CMCC will give us the progress report. Then we'll give the CPA an opportunity to make their presentation, and also the take from the attorney to make this presentation after the CPA does make the presentation. Then members will engage on all those presentations. Over to you again.
I just wanted to check in if anyone will make the presentation, so that we don't leave anyone behind.
And the CPA side, is there any interpretation that is needed for some of the CPA members right here?
Is that if it's possible amongst yourself, if you could sit next to somebody who knows that they may have problems understanding
Then the interpreters from your side
Okay, first of all, I'd like to give the background of the Malamala institution. Then, on our side, we would like to thank the government for purchasing Malamala from the previous landowner in October 2018, which is comprises for 18,200 hectares. Then the property is close by a field, Malamala, Lockfield and Chastain, and also the civil part of the colony. Those are the farms that were purchased. The property registered in the name of Malama Communal Property Association. Then the new company created as the Malamala Reserve. Then the land leads back to Malamala. Then from that land, we are first we receive only the rental. Before the agreement was signed, it was 7,000 per month. 700,000 per month. That's what they say. Then after the agreement was signed, and then the money was reduced back to 500 and something thousand per month. So the company or the business that are involved in Malamala, Malamala CPA, which is the government, the land, and also the government of trust, that is part of the development that will assist the community with Bazaris, and also we've got the Monzo, which is a company, and also Malamala is the business, as the business. Then also we've got Mwandama CPA is the owner of the property, and they use the land to Malamala Game Reserve. Members, our families who live on the property known as the Malamala and sufficient with the inclusion of the farm school for this and the exeter. So that land is only for those who were resided previously in Malamala, excluding with 4G and exeter. Those with 4G and exeter is for the other side on the western part, which is for Mahurata people. So then Musarani also it launched the claim which was for Malamala and the other properties except that side for Mahurata side, which is in the western part. Then in the CPA strategies, CPA Executive Committee consists of that elected community representative, but today we only have the one, the interim committee that was functioning or governing the land. Then we come to the one, the strategies, goals, is to manage the land in transparent and profitable manner, to build a effective and sustainable organization, develop the capacity of the association, its leadership and members, improve economic self-reliance and cultural and social well-being of members, community projects that benefit Mwandamari CPA members and the broader community, effective information and communication. Then also, from 2015 and to until 2018, we managed to distribute 40 million to the beneficiaries verified in 2009 by GRSDN. Those beneficiaries were part of Mwandamau, which is former Mkangani Street, that were verified. 2015, We distributed 10,000 households for 250 households. Then 2016, we distributed 50,000 households for 250 households. 2017, 80,000 households for 250 households. Then lastly, on 2018, we distributed 60,000 households for each for 250 households. Each household from 2016 to 2018, they managed to receive 150,000. Next, then the other thing, we managed to build the office in the day. And now we are still busy with the community board, but not yet completed, but I think it will be completed as soon. That is all about my presentation. I thank you.
I am Virginia Bachi from the Imperial Trust, and I'm a trustee of the Imperial Community Development Trust. And I recently joined the Trust and to that end, I'm going to take it to the Trust. Okay, you'll be here, you'll join the Trust in I joined the Trust in the Trust.
Last night.
In February? Last night.
Okay.
Just to give you a little bit of background in terms of how that has been, I have worked for over 14 years in the same area that we've been part of the Maori community in the non-profit sector as a community development practitioner. Be part of the team that has delivered many community development and empowerment projects in the area. And with that experience, I have been joined the Imperial Trust, and the idea is that I will be working together with my fellow trustees in the Imperial Trust to do the community development work. Just to carry on with that, the Trust was established in 2017, and the main purpose was to receive the tourism ladies from Aramana to invest in community development in fields of education and development for women and youth empowerment and cultural advancement. The Trust consists of five trustees, one of which is appointed by Maramala, and the beneficiaries are the CTA members, their families, and residents of their given communities within the Maramala facility. It's not limited to the CTA members only, but it is a wider distribution. While the Trust was so young and it has made significant progress in that it's a sequel to an emergency program where in 2018 we granted bursaries to 14 students in the fields of hospitality and tourism. Those students have currently completed those courses and are now in service training in the region. Thereafter, they will be obviously eligible for employment. In 2019, there are 20 students that are being granted bursaries, and these students are also enrolled in specific institutions in South Africa in the field of hospitality and tourism, in the field of retail travel, professional cookery, as well as tourism. We plan on having a second round of applications in the second half of the year, where we will grant additional bursaries to students who are requiring funding, as well as looking at skills training for women and youth. That's also to obviously expand the work of the Trust in terms of what's already done and to ensure that the opportunities are, you know, marketed as well as, you know, given the time to market and market the implemented so that they know to apply for these opportunities. In addition to that, we are proposing to do additional work, and that is in the field of small business development, to start to support small business initiatives such as vegetable gardens and craft markets, where those products will be marketed to the neighboring game lodges and gaming boards as potential markets. And obviously, it will obviously help enhance that economy, local economy. And then as well, and for technical skills training for those groups of youth who are looking to form groups in whatever area they want to pursue. In addition to that, and also in support of the vegetable garden project, will be access to water. And to that end, we plan on building boreholes and installing mineral water points at strategic points within the community so that members can access water easily, and as well as have access to water to irrigate their vegetable gardens. And yeah, I think that's it.
Thank you. In representing Monzo, I want to insist that Monzo is an investment company for after the settlement. The CPA had to have this company that will represent in the running of the assets in the business, which is Mwandam Harris. Then Monzo represents the CPA as such, and is holding a 10% within the Malamala Group, and it is in joint venture with the Rata Property Association, which currently, as with the arrangement, they are holding 30% for that. What happens then to the income that comes in? It is used to benefit the members of the Wandamara CPA, and the competition holding in respect of the Malamala Game Reserve escalates as with the arrangement from year one up to year five, which is the current. First phase, Monzo is receiving 30%, whilst the Rata will be having the 70%. In year 6 up to year 10, that will increase to 40% for Monzo and 60% for Rata. In year 11, we'll be operating the business on 50-50 basis, and that will be the case until the 20-year period. Monzo is represented on Malamala Board on a pro-rata basis. Currently, the 30% of it, which is year 1 to 5, we currently have 2 board members, and in year 6 and beyond, that will be 3 board members. As indicated on the lease agreement, I indicated that we are on 30% as Monzo. So Malamala business pays an annual dividend. In the arrangement is that 50% of that of the operating profit will be shared between the companies Monzo and Rata, and the rest will be for operational purposes as such. Of the 50%, Monzo is getting 30% as the arrangement. And in the first year, Malamala has paid a dividend of 40 million for both Rata and Monzo, of which 30% of what Monzo received is equivalent to 12 million. And out of this, 6 million was transferred to the CPA in 2016-2017. As I indicated, that this is to benefit the Wanamari CPA. In 2017-2018, we received 10.2 million, and all these monies are currently held in the committee in the trust account, which is with a law firm, different business. The Malamala Yellow Reserve, we need to engage that this is the management company which brings both companies from the CPA and the overseeing eco-driven business in that area. The duties which bring business in there include the management, the marketing, and the operation, and obviously to keep the standards up to 11 to maintain the improvement in the Malamala Game Reserve. The expectation as a way of relieving the stress in terms of unemployment is that the CPA community members must benefit in terms of employment and its capacitation. Currently, we have 84 community members that are employed at Malamala. In terms of the lease rights, there are two aspects on the lease agreement. Malamala has got exclusive use rights in the exclusive use area of the existing Malamala facilities, and of which that is to be rehabilitated, to develop, to operate, market, and maintain the existing tourism infrastructure and the facilities, which is currently at the approximately 9,169 acres. And this, there has been an intention to increase the tourist base from the current 8 to 90 beds. We wish to believe this will bring more revenue into the business. The other lease agreement that is in place is the chapter development. Other chapter, we have got an area that is undeveloped, which the intention is to create another facility there with at least 42,000 beds of accommodation and to develop and market that area, which is approximately 4,014 acres, inclusive of the other, will bring that to the 18,200 hectares. The lease period, this is the arrangement in the lease agreement. The lease period is for 20 years, which is effectively operating in place. But then, in terms of Malamala, but then in terms of the chapter development, currently there is no income that is coming there. But then the arrangement is that after 3 years, whether the place is developed or undeveloped, a figure of around 200,000 needs to pay towards the CPA for that. So in terms of the lease fee, currently it's 450, which it does not include the chapter figure, which will come into effect once the area is developed or immediately after in March this year. So this is what I can present to the committee. We however have challenges which I do not want to dwell much. I would like to give this opportunity, if I'm not allowed, to the lawyer to deal with this next slide of the challenge. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
The lawyer should deal with the challenges of the CPA, not the lawyer that must deal with the monetary issue, because it's into her account.
Yes, I am the
because
lawyer.
Because I understand that the CPA executive interim must present the challenges, its challenges, the CPA challenges. So if you're saying you give the lawyer to present the challenges, I don't know whether the lawyer is part of the CPA or.
Madam Chair, as I indicated, if I am allowed, but then I get a sense that I can leave out the challenges, maybe in terms of clarity that will come in. The challenges, I'll just explicitly read them out. In terms of the litigation, the CPA was sued by the investment company, and that the matter has been settled. And then currently there is an application to place the Wanabara CPA under administration, and of which the judgment is pending. We will say, by virtue of that technically the land claim is still under constitutional court. That we have this other challenge which I'll present, and I will feel that it should probably have been part of the CPA explaining to that, but I'll just conclude it that regarding the Mavoraga membership dispute, which the presenter highlighted as well as was presenting on the slide for the Wanderbar CPA, that Mavoraga committee claimed that the right to become members of the CPA, which indicated their claim is outside the area that has been purchased by government, and of which they claim an area outside what has been purchased by government, hence the dispute. The Wanderbar CPA resolution has resolved not therefore to include the Mavoraga community in the claim. So currently there is a verification process that is ongoing for Mavoraga community, and there has been some touch-up on the verification on the site of the former Mkhalazweni, which is currently Wanderbare CPA. I'll just put it over there.
Trust account. You want the briefing on that, so why? how much you have deposited, from when, now you have that money, how much money was transferred to the CPA, if there was any, it was for what people. That is the presentation that you want from your staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Initially, this, while the CPI was signing the fees, this money was typed into the Guildford District Trust account, and we have created what we call a Section 78 Trust account, so the community can draw interest. And then in, I think in 2016, on the request of the CPI, that money was transferred back up to the CPI, just in open their own account, and that money was transferred to the CPI account. In August, after the CPI received...
How much we want to discuss, so that when we engage in the discussion, we don't want to give us the details. This initially, this was the amount that we transferred, we ended up there, or so that at least you take members on board, you give them the detailed information, so that when they ask, we don't ask the specific, because you've already given us the specific. That's the specific. 2015, this is the money, how much was deposited in the trust account, we transferred this so much to the CPA account, then in 2021, this is what has happened, was there any transfer or the money from them was directed, was deposited directly to the CPA. We want the details. Can you please go down to the details?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have the details. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I was under the impression that the lawyers or the attorneys could have given us a written presentation, something that we could have worked from, something that we could have had 24 hours to examine prior to this meeting. I don't see anything of the sort here, so I don't know where we're going to go next. I personally would accept figures and facts that they correspond with us now, but I would have liked to have seen this in presentation, a written presentation. Yes.
Nothing has been prepared, but I just want to read this invitation that you sent. Further to our invitation to USC stakeholders, interested or affected parties to Malamala CPA, we are requested to prepare a report presentation that details the role that you and your organization play in the affairs of the Malamala CPA. Segment of the land, financial affairs of the CPA, Mondo Trust and Community Trust, verification process and outcome, distribution of dividends, stipends to members of the CPA, CPA functionality and attempts to resolve the tension. I think the invitation was clear and straightforward. That is what we are expecting from all the stakeholders who are here, to give us the details that we have requested, because we have indicated that prepare a report or a presentation. We thought that the report will give us the details on this matter, because we don't want the verbal presentation must be accompanied by a written one, and we were here on our invitation. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I do have here is the audited report of the CPI from 2015 to 2016. The 2017 audited report, I think the department was in contact with the auditors. We have a bit of a challenge to get it from them, but it seems it will be available soon, at least provisional report. I did not thought I must have, I had to go in so much detail, but I can make that available quite easily by the end of the week, just in to have a full set out of the income, the payout, the expenses, what money was distributed to the members.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for reading out the invite. I forgot. I'm so sorry. I humanly forgot your sending of the information, but I do know you're the lawyer I think that having being armed with the audited report for the period that you cite, which you now say on your second term, on your earlier term when the chair had to read, you didn't even indicate you had your audited statement. But now, when pressed, the statements are, audited statements are coming out. And thank you for that, and perhaps thanks to the chair for pressing so hard. But now, didn't you find it prudent, Ms. or advocate attorney, to really summarize high level PowerPoint? So unlike a court session, in a committee meeting or in any other stakeholder, general governance and all, then from statements you could then extract a 3-pager, a 4-pager that is like user-friendly and non-technical, but if anything, just flowing. That's what I think that as this committee of parliament we are asking to have. But if it means we will go with you to that level of detail that you want to draw us into, I don't know if you are an accountant yourself in terms of background, we will go to that level if it means, because there are so many impressions about us politicians, most of which are untested. But we just say for purpose of procedure in a meeting, any other meeting, it would have been nice for you to extract it. Shall I through you, Chair? Get an idea if there is such an extract, a presentation drawn from the wisdom of the audited statement. Otherwise, then you can then present your balance sheet and all. I don't know if we have all the time for that. Then we may then deal with that, but I guess that's not what you present to any meeting. I don't know the courtroom. I've never seen there's an authority in the courtroom, but I guess in the courtroom you present to the presiding officer and then talk to it. So I guess that's what we wish to see if it's possible. Thank you.
Another question.
I think I'm really covered by the question, the comments of Honourable Mbodi. I'm expecting somebody to ask to bring in proper finances, to bring a financial report that will say on such and such a day the decision was taken that money should be deposited into the trust account. The trust account was opened on such and such a day for Manamana, and this amount was deposited. And these are the interests accrued from that, from that. And this much was paid out. Of the interest, this much was reinvested into the account. And as we stand now, the balance is this much. That is what I expect from a financial report of somebody holding millions of people in trust. Because it's about trust, that's why it's called a trust. That's it.
Another question, you're welcome.
On the presentation that we were given, commitments made by the Land Rights Management Facility, it's actually indicating over there that they are committed to putting an application, a court application, to freezing one of the RECPA's accounts. That surely would be enough evidence for anybody to come with the necessary documentations to this portfolio committee meeting. So I don't know if this is a stalling tactic, Mr. Duplessis, but under those warrants, I would have thought that it would be pertinent to bring all the documentation. That being said, I think the state has paid a lot of money to get everybody over here, and I think some of you were on the aeroplane with me yesterday. The state has paid a lot of money getting everybody. I think what we can't do is delay this this meeting. I think we need to be able to carry on irrespective, possibly pick up things from the Hansard in the future, and obviously, as Honourable Mbuni said, ask for that report a little bit later on, so that we can match facts and figures. Thank you.
Chairperson, I just wanted to say we really now realize that because we have transported these people because they know what it is they are going to do here. So I wanted just to okay. But we're aware that all of them have been invited and they're here. So I wanted just to check to the lawyer why she's here. Why is she there if she doesn't have any report?
Over to you, Asif. Thank you. We've been requested to come, the CPI has been requested to come and present comparative issues. I didn't realize that this financial issue will be such a big issue. It's true, I'm an attorney, I'm not auditor. That money, I can tell you what money is now in the account. It's not difficult to do that. We've got the statements about Zondu, Ahmondu, and the TPI here. We've got the auditor's report. Unfortunately, I just mentioned it that we don't have some documents, but at least not in the presentation. It will be no problem to give you a proper breakdown very soon of the last 2 years and the income and also how that money was spent. Can I proceed? Because there is the issue of what money is in the Section 78 trust account.
We wanted to address that issue of the availability of the results. But you've got the invite is here. They are saying you've got all the statements with you. The only thing was to simplify all the statements to members that according to the statements that I'm having, this was the revenue, this were the expenditures, how was money used, what was the balance, then all those things, so that we really understand the flow of cash within until it reaches the beneficiary.
Again, I don't have that kind of detail. I don't thought it was necessary to have it. That's what it's doing after the auditor's report here. But I can't take it further than to say that I can maybe develop our quite soon in writing to you.
Just before I proceed, Chair, thank you very much, Honourable Chair. You mean the trust account was audited? Yes, sir.
Yes, the Morris CPA account was audited. The money is held in the trust account, but the audited reports for the CPA that were audited by a firm in NALSA.
Sorry, and don't complicate it, please, ma'am. I'm not legal. Was the trust account audited?
Yes, the trust account, if you want to put it like that, so the trust account was audited.
Thank you. If I may just proceed. It still says there are all the costs. You have the lawyer and probably with some insight into your accounting. A lot of costs went into Honourable Robertson and Deadline into convening this meeting. This meeting sits on 4,000 of rent of the public purse, I would think, of the public purse. Be it the department buying into assets of and forming CPA, but that's public purse purely. Whether it's kept in the trust or what, but the initiator, the great mover in the public system. It's a very, very expensive meeting. Never ever go again, man, to a meeting where you are holding people's money unprepared, armed with 2016 financial statements, 18 to 16 and audited the financial statement, and go into that meeting. You're really going to a meeting for the wrong purpose, number one. Number two, the CPA is accountable in its own accord. When it meets with us, we don't need no lawyer. Or strict language, we don't need a lawyer. We don't need the lawyer. The meeting of Parliament is between Parliament and the CPA, the department and so forth. No one represents the other. I've got so many lawyers. I could put lawyers here and sit behind and
keep sending notes to my advocate to communicate. And this is not how it's done in Parliament. We speak direct. It is legal, but it's not a persistent an establishment of legality based on technical legality and so forth. So it may not have been your decision. It might have been ensuing from our invite to a good self and to say this would have been expected. Chair, I want to propose a compromise. I am satisfied that I could hit harder, but that she, being such a civilized and learned friend, would understand that this is deeper than I have put it, and support Honourable Robertson in saying that she is given a chance to prepare a financial report. A financial report is like any other treasurer's report to an organization. To a financial report, then, or to a financial report, is then attached as an attachment the audited financial statement. Audited financial statements are not a financial report, a treasurer's report. A financial report, like the chair says, has got like a beginning, flowing, indicating major expenses and making some commentary and taking everyone through. It follows after function. In other words, it follows after what the CPA's main progression has been over the period of reporting. That's what we will say. We then now ask of you, again, I think what I choose the word ask, and knowing that you're high level intellectual, you understand that I could use another word. I choose to use ask. We ask of you to follow us with this that we expect now that we're ahead. This is now Wednesday. I will suggest, check softly to ourselves, not to her. Softly to ourselves, I'll suggest by next Tuesday, end of the working day, but manage has been fair so that on Tuesday, like Honourable Robertson was asking, we can familiarize, and then if next week, Wednesday, we're looking into these matters in any manner, then we would be able to. My last comment is not really based to the, on this issue, but generally almost everyone, CPA chair, secretary, or it's quite a big meeting. My advice, humble advice, I may not even be in Parliament next time you come around, don't spend so much money of the revenue of any organization flying or passing people around. Don't pass people or fly people down here. The executive has got some good, in general terms, I've evolved constitution for anything throughout South Africa over the past 32 years. Just the executive ended on average between 9 people, somewhere there, 7, or a top 6 if you're familiar with the term. Just get up that top 6 or that kind of 9 persons here, and that's it. Chair, I am really very, very concerned about the expenditure that went into bringing people into this meeting. From your invite, Chair, that you read, I never got a signal that you wanted almost everyone, you know, almost everyone. This is such a massive meeting. You come to Cape Town, the best and most efficient man in flight. I think that this was really very, very excessive, and I think from where we sit, it's regrettable. Half this number could have still been very fruitful for a meeting, Chair. But that's like a side issue, Chair, that may not go unnoticed and uncommendable. Thank you, Chair.
Another question.
Thanks very much, Chair. Top of my text right, my understanding is that this is the same group of people that we invited who chose not to come. And now, having come, a decision is taken that we are not going to cooperate. It's not a mistake. Because if the lawyer was not so sure as to what detailed information needs to be brought, she had the opportunity to say exactly what are you looking for. So given the information, the invite as it was read, there's one word there, financial. And any lawyer would understand what that means. If they are not clear about which years and what aspects of the financial, there was an obligation on the part of the lawyer to say exactly what do you want. Now here we are down in Cape Town. We are 2 months to the end of the term. We were there in October, November last year. So much time to prepare for this meeting since the invitation went out. Chair, I've got one recommendation to make. This association must get rid of that lawyer. Finish and clear, because she is not helping the cause of the South African. Already a lot of money has been spent on Malamala, and now she deliberately decides that I'm going to prove that government you intend wasteful expenditure for bringing us down. And if you don't do that, we ourselves carry the responsibility for wasteful expenditure. Wind up the books quickly, get rid of him. There are many lawyers in Bumalanga that can do the job that needs to be done. We can't carry a lawyer who does not cooperate with government. You can't go beyond parliament. You can't go in matters of this nature, because we don't intend going to court. This is the highest in the country. And if a lawyer decides, as she takes a bet that I'm going to move the whole process, it's going to collapse rather under my control, then we have got to act responsibly. We don't have much time for dealing with this matter anymore. We can't toy with time. It's against us. Thank you.
I think Honourable Chair, to not prolong this any longer, can we move forward? Just as a suggestion. And sorry, Honourable Chair, and Honourable Nguni is asking as well, and I confirm, what date can we expect the report from the attorneys so that we can go through it just to find out the date? Thank you.
Can I propose that Monday, because next week will be considering, I have to finalize the reports, all those reports, so that when we adjourn Parliament, then we are done with the reports, by next week Monday, to get that financial report with the attachment of the financial audit statement. But just to be clear, you have the financial audit statement of the trust or of the CPA or both?
Are you referring to the Mutura Trust? Mm. Or are you referring to our trust account?
You said that the money was transferred from the account, from the trust account to the CPA. I think the interim or the previous CPA just clarifies to which CPA, and also to clarify whether the financial statements, the audited financial statements that you're talking about, are the statements of the trust or both trust and CPA where the money was transferred to.
The auditor's report is for the trust, but you refer to as a trust for the CPI. The trust of the CPA, which is the
to mediate how that happened. We have tried to get information in terms of their bank accounts, the balances, and we have not succeeded, either from the CPA and from their attorney. So I think you must differentiate between the trust account of their attorney, which is the initial account, for example, where the 700,000 was deposited for almost a year and a half, I think, and then differentiate the proceeds that come directly from Malamala as a business into Monzo, and then also differentiate the amount of money that come from Malamala, the business, that relates to the tourism levy that was going to go straight into the trust account that is owned by the community. So you've got money that comes from the trust account of the attorney, you've got money that comes from Malamala into the trust account of the claiming community, and then you've got the money that is paid as a dividend by the company into Monzo.
Maybe before we proceed, Mr. Assemi, I just clarified to us. The decision was taken that the money must be deposited into the trust account. Then, all of a sudden, the money has been transferred to the CPA. Who authorizes that? And what makes it difficult for the department, for the commission, if they want access to those documents, not to be given? What was the difficulty with regard to that?
Madam Chair, the money that initially, like I said, filed the lease money of the CPI was filed into the Jerusalem Legislative Trust Account, and it was recorded Section 70I Trust Account, so that the community can draw interest. At some stage, when the CPI sorted out the account, because clearly the money mustn't lie in a lawyer's account forever, on request of the CPI committee, that money was transferred to the CPI account. In August, that is on the CPI. On August, the community took a decision because of threat that wasn't clear to us, and we don't know about the application to freeze the account. We heard rumors. The community took a decision to rather let the lease money paid into the Jerusalem and the Seed Trust account until the dispute with the Mabaralco has been sorted. So that's why there's something like 1.5 million in the 70I Trust account now. That's for the CPI. Then there's the, like the Chief Master Commissioner was referring to, there's the dividend that was paid. And the dividend is also paid and holds, the dividend was paid to the Monzo company. That money is also in a separate 70I Trust account with GP. The trust, the Mentura Trust, I'm not sure exactly now, that's with your own account. So we can give you a breakdown of all three. The Communal Property Association, the company, Monzo Company, and the Mentura Trust. They all have separate accounts. We've not been formally requested for these documents. So I think there was a request in November. Whatever we have was sent to the department. I think that request came from the Office of the Minister. We sent it to the Regional Land Tax Commissioner in Mpumalanga and also to the Office of the Minister, whatever documents, financial documents there. And as far as to the best of my knowledge, they were also in contact with the accountants in Oxford who also sent them what they are busy with. We came by Monday, you can give your undertaking. I'm a lawyer, it's true, I'm not the auditor or bookkeeper, but I can send to the committee a breakdown of all of those documents, and where we have the audited reports, we will make it part of the package that we'll send it to the portfolio committee.
Currently, what is the current status? The money still being deposited into your account or into the CPA account?
Yes, the CPA, when they took the decision in August that the money must rather come to the GDP account, to keep it there until the dispute of the Mabaralco was sorted. So that dispute, we still have a solution for the Mabaralco thing. It's either now that the department step in and convince the Maharajas that they will sort of they will get a solution for their land plan, or otherwise this person must go back to the land plan court, be back to the first step in the constitutional court, they're still pending, go back to the land plan court so that there is a decision about the Maharaja issue. So the community decided to try to avoid a necessary dispute, to make sure rather to keep that money in the GDP trust account. We can give you all the documents, we can give you the statements, it's not a problem to do that.
That's a good situation. Very much confusing. Very much complex. You know? Just a mismatch.
Thank you, Jen. Jen, I would think it would also be necessary, in terms of the financial report, that we get a sense of the payments made to the beneficiaries. I think it's important that the outcome figures on the one hand, we understand that but in terms of the report that the chair presented today, 260 beneficiaries were paid. So that discrepancy must also be accounted for, chair, thanks.
Get rid of this lobster. That's all I want to say. ASAP, unless you're inviting my father. Thank you. Honorable Chair, thanks for that. I think for the sake of clarity, while we're speaking to the attorneys, what they call themselves GDP, right? Your point of view, what they're really looking for. I think that initially the major issue, or one of the issues why this came to the fore, was that the Land Claims Commission actually indicated that there should be 950 households benefiting. Currently only 250 are benefiting. So, I mean, on that financial report, if they could include why it is, who gave them the instruction to only pay out the 250 households, as opposed to the 950 households that was supposedly the words of the Land Claims Commission. And I think just for clarity purposes, if they could speak to that, because that's really the reason why we're here, is because beneficiaries haven't been benefiting from our model. Thanks.
Honourable members, can I propose that we allow the salesperson to make her presentation so that we are able to align what the CPA has presented with what the attorney is saying, and also with what the CLCC will be saying. CLCC?
Transactional advisors to Melana Trust
We had community facilitators employed at Great Hope. We set up the company for the CPA. We have a good monthly meeting flying to Mpumalanga every month through a joint coordinating committee where the CPA was represented or the representatives of the community. We pay for their legal representatives, both their attorneys and advocates. Jansen, who has since passed away. But the negotiation happened over the period of 3 years and very intensive and very deliberate, specifically to try and avoid issues of conflict. We took the community along, we attended various community meetings, updated everybody. The negotiations happened over a period of a year and a half, and the community was represented by Mr. Derek Mutabine and the chairperson at the time, Mr. Sambo, who subsequently had to resign. But all I'm trying to say is that the crux of the matter, which is why we're here, is the fact that we've got a portion of the community who have decided that they no longer want the other to be part of the system. And the reason I still am yet to establish, my position is that the community was legally represented at the time when the case was settled in 2015. And they were represented by the same attorney and the same advocate who had been representing them in court. So if any of the parties were not happy with the agreement that was being proposed, they had an opportunity to interdict us, to invite you saying we do not recognize North Raka and therefore you will not be part of the system. Every meeting where we had the landowners, transactional advisors, attorneys, they were all there. Every agreement that needed to be signed, Derek would be given the document. He would be flown in to come with the committee and they saw and they referred all the documents to the attorney before we moved an inch on anything. All of the resolutions were taken in a committee. There was no point where we were told by them that we are not in Kanganswini in North Africa. They came up with the concept of Mwandamari as a collective. But after the claim was finalized and now work has happened. Suddenly, all of a sudden, we find out that as far as they are concerned, they only recognize international. And my comment was, if you say so, now, after the fact, the Constitutional Court allowed them to go and negotiate this, and they even said, if you want to come with a report, an interview report, on the progress of the negotiation. They were there when we presented the report to the court. Nobody stood up and objected to the settlement in the manner it was done. It is only after the fact. And so I said, if you don't agree with the settlement now, after the fact, then the entire settlement must be reversed, the entire settlement. It's not going to benefit only half of the people. If you decide you don't like the settlement, then let's go back to court and reverse the entire settlement and take all of the assets and put them in the hands of the state until then the court decides what should happen. I think that it is completely unethical and wrong for the committee who took this with us from 2013 and led us to believe that we are all on the same page to now suddenly, after the fact, pretend like they were not on the same page with us and create a divide where the Mahuraka people perceive us as people who sold them out. When at that point in time the CPA chairperson was a Mahuraka person elected by them. So I think the crux of the matter here is that one that needs to be resolved. Because if we don't resolve that question of the fact that only a certain portion of individuals are benefiting in this process, then we won't succeed. because all of the structures, the CPA, the Monzo, the trust, they're all there because we spent 3 years ensuring that the systems are there. The business is making money, but the problem is that the money is not getting to all of the beneficiaries, and the reason it's not getting to the beneficiaries is the decision that is made by a few who have taken it upon themselves that they are Mwanza Mari, not on the basis of law, and not on the basis of any legal agreement, but on the basis of a decision that they have taken, and as a result, continue to sideline other groups. So for me, I do not understand why this is now the fourth time that I'm presenting, but the issue of Maburaka and the settlement still has not been resolved, nor is it even presented by the CPA. The CPA here comes and talks about the fact that these Maburaka are outside of Malamala and that the commission must settle their case outside elsewhere. They cannot make a decision without the commission, nor of government. And my proposal is that if this claim cannot proceed in the manner in which it was settled, where Derek was part of the settlement, and happy for us is that Derek is well educated, he is a banker, so he cannot plead ignorance of not understanding what was going on. I would have understood if we were talking to someone who was a layperson. Therefore, Chair, my call would be that this whole thing must be placed under administration and all of the assets must be taken back by government and a decision must be done then on what should happen. Because we cannot go on where only a certain few are benefiting because they make a decision that they want to stay.
I think honourable members is loud and clear. How was this thing started? Then now it says money, then the division starts. Can I see with Derek? Since his name keeps on coming, he was sitting in various structures, he understands this matter more than anyone else. I hope and believe he's the one who was giving feedback even to the community, because he was representing the community in those structures. Now we are talking about the Maburaka that is being verified, the Maburaka that is not part of the case. Why initially you were together with the Maburaka? Why now sidelining the Maburaka? Can you get if you have the understanding of the report? Out of all this presentation, what we need now? We got the injury, the claim. Was it one thing? Was it two things? Then why these divisions now?
Thank you, Madam Chair. From my side.
Before honourable members, I think this matter is very much serious. We must not take it for granted. Can we have a 5 minute break and call our legal advisor to be part of this meeting before Jerry can make the presentation? It's a serious, serious matter. We must take it serious. 5 minutes break. Another question?
Why you want to break them? I give them the background before they settle down.